Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I'm looking forward to it. Exodus chapter number 15. I took the church 17 years ago. This year I'll start my 18th year in July. And the very first Sunday that I preached here at Amazing Grace, I don't know, there was probably 25, maybe 30 people here. We was over in the old building then. It was before I was a pastor. The very first Sunday, I preached out of this text. And I preached along these lines. It was not this message. But I preached along these lines, and I want to give you just a simple thought this morning, and I hope that you'll stay with us and the Lord will help us today. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter number 15, I want to pick up reading in verse number 20. The Bible said, "And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing ye unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.' So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" Now, I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord for a little while today. Some things that I learned at Marah. Some things that I have learned at Marah. Father, I love you today, and I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. God, I thank you for being good to us. God, I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you would breathe on us for a little while. I pray, God, that we would find help and strength from your word today. God, I pray that, Lord, that you'd help us as we preach. God, may the people not see me. May the people not hear me. But, God, may they see and hear you through me today. Meet every need of the service. If there's any here lost, I pray, God, that you would save them today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. When you come to Exodus chapter number 15, allow me just a few minutes to lay the groundwork into where we're at. When you come to Exodus chapter number 15, you find that it is a very exciting time in the life of the children of Israel. For many, many years, they've been in bondage in Egypt's land. And God has raised up Moses to deliver his children out of Egypt's land. We note that whenever we study it out, that there's probably somewhere around 2 million that makes the exodus out of Egypt. We know that the Bible gives some different numbers. And if you'll take that and look at the day and look at the population of the day and look at how many children they may have had if they was married, there's probably around 2 million that makes the exodus out of Egypt that day. For many years, the children of Israel had longed for that. They had been in bondage. They had been under Pharaoh's rule, and they was wanting someone to deliver them out of Egypt. We know the story that God raises up Moses, the greatest leader besides the Lord Jesus Christ, in my personal opinion, that ever lived. He raises up Moses, and Moses leads this great exodus in the book of Exodus. They come to the Red Sea. They cross the Red Sea. Whenever they get there, you that knows the geographical physical location of it. There's a mountain range, there's a desert, there's the Red Sea, and there's Pharaoh and his army behind them pursuing them. They begin to cry out to the Lord, Moses does, and God tells Moses to take his rod, stretch it out over the waters, and he does that, and God parts the waters that night, and the children of Israel go across, watch this, on dry ground. You say, preacher, do you really think it was dry? As much as I'm standing here, it was dry ground. Some people says, well, in the location that they crossed at, it has been proven that it was anywhere from ankle deep to waist deep. Well, then that's a greater miracle than the children of Israel crossing on dry ground, because Pharaoh and his army drowned in ankle deep water. It was dry ground, honey. I'm telling you, you need to learn to take the Bible at what it says. Amen. It was dry ground. Here's something that's very interesting about that. You note in chapter 12 or chapter 13 that God gives them that cloud, a type of the Holy Ghost. God gives them that cloud to lead them by day and to lead them by night. Whenever they come to the Red Sea, that cloud goes behind them and it makes it dark for Pharaoh and his army so they can't pursue. And it makes it light for the children of Israel to cross over the Red Sea to the other side. Then God moves that cloud and Pharaoh and his army pursues after. Whenever they get into the midst of the Red Sea, the Bible says this, that their chariot wheels run off. There, that's what it says. You go back and read chapter 14 and 15. Their chariot wheels run off. Man, could you imagine standing there on the seashore that day, watching Pharaoh and his army pursue after, and all of a sudden the wheels start running off? I bet he started fussing at the shop. He probably picked up his phone and called them and said, who checked the lug nuts on the chariots today? Man, their wheels are running off. And Pharaoh and his army, the Bible said that they drave the chariots hard. In other words, they couldn't control the chariots. And man, Moses took that rod, stretched it back out over the Red Sea. The waters came in, and the Bible said to us that Pharaoh and his army, they would not see anymore. Man, they're standing on the banks of sweet deliverance. God has brought them out. God has delivered them. There's no doubt they're praising God. We've even read where Miriam, and Miriam, man, she does some things wrong. I preached on that Wednesday night. You should have been here. But right here, man, she's praising God. She's exalting the name of God. I don't think they're doing the hokey pokey and turning themselves around, but they break out into a holy dance before God, and they're praising Him. They're saying, boy, God sure is good. God sure has blessed us. God sure has delivered us. I'm going to magnify His name. We serve a great God. All throughout chapter 15, boy, they're praising God until we get to verse 22. The Bible said this, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out in the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they come to Marah, time out, could you imagine being in the wilderness for 3 days? Not having, I'm sure they had water when they started. But could you imagine now some close to 2 million people in the wilderness without water for 3 days? Could you imagine when they saw the water? Could you imagine the way they run to it? Last night, Leslie and I came in, and Olivia and Victoria was sitting there at the house. Madeline had to work last night, and Olivia and Victoria was sitting there at the house, and they was watching something on TV. I don't even know what it was. I don't know what it was. I mean, it wasn't nothing bad, or it better not have been. But I switched it to The Rifleman. Somebody say amen for The Rifleman. You need to watch one episode of The Rifleman every day, and I promise you it'll help you. I switched it to The Rifleman. And what's his name, Olivia? Lucas, ain't that his name that shoots with that rifle? Lucas, somebody had got his boy and had hurt his boy. He went after him. Boy, I thought he's going to kill them all. Y'all know the way he shoots that thing. And he found them, and there was three of them. And whenever he found them, they started to run towards their horse. And he's amazing, man. He can shoot that lever action 30-30 at 700 yards and never even have... And he hits everything. He's like me. I taught him everything he knows. But boy... Pow, pow, and he run them horses off, Brian. Whenever them horses run off, they said, well, we've got to get our canteens. And they run towards the canteens. And Brother Matt, he shot their canteens, and all the water went out of them. He said, start walking. I got up. Now I realized he was talking to them. He said, y'all are picturing in your mind me jumping up off the couch right there. He said, start walking. And they started walking, and they got into a racket, and one of them shot the other two, and one of them died, and the other one was living, and they was walking through the desert, and they seen this little watering hole. And whenever they got over there to it, they went to reach down and get water. Pow, 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 pow. He said, no, you got to keep walking. And he ended up, I prayed, and he ended up, he went down there and helped them and saved the guy's life. But watch this. Can you imagine how it would be to be so thirsty and to see water, to lead your family to water, to take your children to water? Can you just imagine? No doubt they come running to Marah. They come running to this body of water and they kneel down. And I don't think somebody said, please get the filter system and let's make sure the water is okay. Are you with me? I remember as a boy growing up, punk seats, and he would come down the road on that old international tractor, and I'd run out, and I'd sit. They say you can't do stuff like this, it'll kill you, but it never killed me. I'd sit on the fender, man, and we'd go back in behind our house in a field that he took care of, and I rode around and around and around that field sitting on that tractor fender, and there was an old creek down there, and I remember the first time he said, boy, he said, I'm thirsty, I'm going to get something to drink, and we jumped off that old international tractor and we walked down there to the creek, and he went like this, and I just stuck my head in, man. Are you with me? Could you? And how good. Some of the freshest waters. You might know it. Some of y'all like, I never done any of that in my life. I'm sorry, man. You need to start living. Man, how fresh it was. How great it was. You was tired. You was dusty. Man, I thought I was working like a man. I was just a little boy sitting up on that fender of that tractor. Don't nobody ride us off, but he had that old radio on the side. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Had her on 104. And I thought, boy, Daddy will get on to me. I'm going to listen to it because Punk's the adult here, and I'm going to listen to him. I got that one. Boy, it was so good. The children of Israel, they're tired. They're dry. They're dusty. And they get to that water, and whenever they get there, they can't drink of it because the Bible said this, it was bitter. It was bitter. Now, can I ask you a question? Can I make an application and we'll go home? Can I ask you a question? You ever been doing exactly what you felt God wanted you to do? You're serving the Lord. You're doing what God's called you to do. You're living your life. You're trying your best to do what's right. And all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, Marah hits your life. All of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, that bad phone call comes. Or this happens, or that happens. Or a family member turns against you. Or a situation comes up. Or this happens, or that happens. And man, you find yourself in the center of God's will. But all of a sudden, the storm clouds have rolled in. I read a couple things. One said this, no one ever learned to swim in ankle-deep water. You know, sometimes God has to put us in water over our head to teach us to swim. One said this, the hotter the furnace, the finer the gold. One said this, a tree does not stop growing because the wind blew off a few of its leaves. You know what the writers are saying? The writers are saying is this. The heat's going to come. The wind's going to blow. There's going to be times when we feel like we are sinking, but we must understand that if we're in the center of God's will, if we're doing what God said do, we must stay the course. Here's some things that I learned when I got to Mara. And I'll say this to you, and then I'll give you a little thought, and we'll go. It's not if Mara comes, it's when Mara comes. We have this false assumption, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't mean this ugly, but I'm just going to be real with you. We've got a bunch of hirelings that's crept into our churches today, and they're preaching this fame gospel that hard times never come. I don't look on social media much, but the other day I did. And there was this reel. I sitting there, and a lot of times I'll look at something that Miss Courtney or Miss Leslie's posted from the church and see how it performed. And you know, if you'll scroll, another one will come up. And it came up and it said this: if you'll type amen right now and share this post in 10 minutes, God will bless you. And I thought, well, you dummy. But how many people, now you might as well say amen to what I just said. How many people fall prey to that? If I came in here today and I said, the people here is a little more educated than this, I hope. But I said, hey, look, next Sunday morning, we're going to have prayer cloths. We've prayed over them. We've snotted over them. Our tears is on them. We're going to sell them for $25 each, and it'll change your life. You could go some places, and you'd be blown away by how much money you would raise by a prayer cloth that you bought at Walmart and poured water on. People are so overcome by that. And preachers today, they so preach that everything's always going to be all right. You just give a little bit of money and everything will be all right. You can give a little bit of money or you can give a whole lot of money. It really don't matter. The truth of the matter is this. If you're saved and you're serving God, there will be times that come in your life when you don't understand why it's the way it is and you don't know why it's going the way it is. Some things I learned at Mara. Number one, Mara is a place of perplexity. Of perplexity. You said, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what it means. Perplexity means this: to cause to be puzzled or bewildered over what is not understood or certain. Perplexity, it means this: to make complicated or confused. There'll be times in your life that you do not understand why things is going the way that they're going. The book of Job is an interesting book. And can I just be real, real personal and honest with you right here? I don't understand the book of Job. I understand what it's saying. I understand the principles behind it. I understand chapter 42. He gets twice as much as he had at the beginning. I understand what he names his three daughters in chapter 42. The only three kids' names that are mentioned. I understand the meaning behind them. And you've heard me preach on that if you've been here long. And I understand all that. But here's what I don't understand. Why did Job go through that? Why did Job face that? Job serving God. I might just be preaching to myself this morning. Job's serving God. Job's living for the Lord. Job's doing everything right. Job was a man that stood out in the whole country in that day. He issued evil. He feared God. And all of a sudden, his world is turned upside down. Matter of fact, listen to this, Job chapter 16. He said, God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. You know what Job was saying? Job's saying this: I feel like God has just turned me over to the ungodly. Now, we're not going to criticize Job and time out. We're not going to criticize Job's wife because we don't know what we would say when she said, curse God and die. She had 10 kids that was killed at the same time. I don't know what I would say, but I can say this. Sometimes Mara is a time of perplexity, and we do not understand why we're there. Why we're there. I was talking to an individual this week, and they began talking, and they said, they talked about, I've never done this, I've never done this, I've never done this, and why am I sitting here like this? And you know what I had to look at them and say? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why you're going through this. I don't know why you're faced with this, but I do know this. Mara is a time that we just don't understand. We just don't understand. You say, well, preacher, will I understand more about it when I get on the other side of it? We may and we may not. It may be some things that we never understand down here. Here's the reason why. God's ways is not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. We can't understand Him. If I could understand Him, if I could figure Him out, then how big of a God would He be? It's a time of perplexity. Number two. Mara should be a time, this is a deep word, of pondering. It should be a time of pondering. Watch the children of Israel, verse number 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Nowhere do we see that the children of Israel goes to God and talks to God and thanks Him for all of His blessings on their life. They just immediately lash out. I'm going to tell you what you need to do when you get to Mara. You just need to take a time out and sit down just a minute. So many times, I want you to hear me this morning. So many times we react to a situation and we react in the wrong way. God's wrong in doing this. You better be real careful in saying that. You better be real careful in reacting to God when you get to Mara. I thought about, I used this illustration on Wednesday night, but let me use it again. Brother Darrell Cox was preaching in our pastor's retreat this past week. And he said this, he was an amateur boxer and he trained with several professional boxers. And one of them told him this. He said, listen to me. He said, if you ever get knocked down, he said, back up. When you get knocked down, he said, lay on the ground 6 seconds before you get up. He said, it's amazing how much your mind can clear in 6 seconds. And let me tell you what happens. The storms come our way. We get knocked down, and what we do a lot of times is we jump right back up. We try to fire right back off at God. We try to falsely accuse something that really didn't happen that way. When what we need to do when Mara comes is we just need to sit down on the front porch and get a cup of coffee and talk to the Lord and ponder on the things for just a minute. Listen to what the Bible said in Psalms 46, verse number 10. He said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted around among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. He said, be still. That word still means this. It means to stop as a motion or agitation, to check or restrain, to make quiet, as to still, listen to this, the raging sea. What did God say? God said this, be still. Just stop a minute. Quit the motion. Sit down and think about what's going on in our life. Mara, number one, it's a place of perplexity. Number two, it's a place of pondering. Number three, Mara should be a place of praying. Mara should be a place of praying. A lot of times, here's what happens. As soon as something happens, immediately, even the atheist will make this statement. Somebody pray for me. Are you with me? But I'm talking about past an immediate response. Our response, we live in the South, our response to tragedy is pray. Now you go back to September 11th and look all over the public school signs, pray for America. Pray for America. Pray for America. That's our immediate response. But I'm talking about more than that. I'm not talking about when the bad phone call comes, you get to the hospital and you say, oh God, we need your help right now. I'm talking about after the bad phone call. I'm talking about after you've pondered on it. I'm talking about days down the road and you still don't understand why things is going the way that they are. Hear me and hear me well. You better learn how to pray. I want you to note something. Look in verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, watch this. I find it so interesting that all that is recorded is this. He cried unto the Lord. It does not give his prayer. Are you with me? If we go to several prayers in the Bible, the prayer of Jabez, we can go read that prayer. The model prayer. We can go read that prayer. There's several prayers that David made, and we can go read those prayers. But when it comes to Moses right here at Marah, there's no words that are mentioned. It just simply says, he prayed unto the Lord. Here's the reason I believe that it's that way. There'll come times in your life. Matter of fact, Nehemiah said this, that he sat down, he wept, and he mourned, and he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. There'll be times that come in your life that are Marah experiences, and hear me, you'll not know what to pray. Nowhere is it recorded some eloquent prayer that Moses prayed. Can I give you some scripture? Listen to 2 Samuel 22:7. He said, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ear. Psalms 18:6 says this, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice. Here's what he said. In Psalms 118:5, I called upon the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Psalms 120, verse number 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Nowhere do we find an eloquent speech right there. Nowhere do we find some great eloquent prayer. But here's what we find. Children of God falling before the face of God when they don't even know what to say, but simply something like this. Help, Lord. Oh, God, I need you. Marah will be a place that should drive us to our knees. I thought about this verse, and I'm almost done. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Listen. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. In those times when Marah comes in your life, I really believe that Moses is at a place. He don't know what to say. He don't even know how to pray. There's 2 million screaming at him that it's his fault. And all he can do is find himself prostrate out before God and saying, oh God. Now I'm glad when I don't know what to say. Now I'm glad when the trials of this life has so overcome me that I don't know which way's up or down or left or right. I'm glad that I can fall before the throne of God and the Holy Spirit will make intercession for me. He takes it to the Son. The Son takes it to the Father. Thank God in my time of need, He's praying for me. He's praying. It's a time of perplexity. It's a time of pondering. It's a time of praying. But watch this. The storm and Marah is a time of providence. It's a time of providence. You said, preacher, what does that mean? Have you ever heard this statement? Boy, we got lucky. Boy, they's lucky. Probably somebody with the children of Israel went, man, we's lucky. You see, Moses prays. You that knows the story, right there in verse number 25, when Moses prays, God answers him. Isn't that what God does, by the way? And he says, Moses, there's a tree right there. If you'll pick that tree up and you'll throw it in the waters will be made sweet. So you know what Moses does? He listens to God. Now, can you imagine the people that's standing around Moses? Moses gets up from praying, walks over, grabs a tree, picks the tree. I don't know if it's a little tree. I don't know if it's a big tree. I don't know if it's blown down. I don't know if he jerked it up by the roots. All I know, it's a tree. That's all the Bible tells us. You say, well, I need more information on that. Get saved, go to heaven, and ask God when you get there. It's a tree. Moses picks the tree up, watch this, chunks it into the water. Now, can you imagine, everybody? You've lost your mind, Moses. You big dummy. At least the water was clean. Now it's muddy. Now it's dirty. Now you've done went and throwed a tree in it. Maybe Moses does something like this. Okay. Cups his hands up. That's the way it sounds when you drink out of your hands, by the way. I wasn't blowing my nose. Maybe Moses grabs that water and splashes it up on his face. He may have stuck his head in it. Somebody runs up beside Moses and goes, your taste buds ain't working. Oh, they just fine. Best water I ever drunk. Maybe another one says, they just get a little bit, stick her finger in it. Well, you know what? That ain't bad. And then they get another drink. And before you know it, little Johnny's done her off the side and cannonballed right out into the middle of it. You see, the very thing that they thought was going to be the death of them is the very thing they're running to now. The very thing that brought the bitterness is the very thing that they're running to now. You see, all of it goes back to this, the providence of God. There was a man of God in tune with God that prayed to God. God showed him a tree. He took that tree, throwed it in the water, and all of a sudden their bitter times is made sweet. Hear me and hear me well. Every one of us face bitter times in our life, but if we'll just listen to a preacher, preach us to a tree. Can I just say that again? If we'll listen to a preacher, preach us to a tree. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblems of suffering and shame. And I'm telling you something, no matter how bad it is, no matter how dark it is, no matter what we're going through in our life, if we'll just remember Calvary, if we'll just remember that Jesus loved us and Jesus was willing to give His life for us, He has provided the comfort that we need in Him. See, Mara was a place of providence. I give you this last of all. Here's something that I learned at Mara. And I just say this when you come start playing softly. Here's something that I learned there. You'll pray more there than you do anywhere else. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. As I disagree with you, well, pray for me. Back in August, I was in the hospital with meningitis, and I got out our morning routine after I got home was I'd get up in the mornings early, which I didn't sleep. I would sleep an hour or two, and we'd get up before it ever broke daylight, Leslie and I would. And I was trying to build my strength back up. So in the beginning, we'd walk up the hill to the church. Then we'd walk around. We'd come right here by this building. We'd go back around, go around the cemetery, and then we'd stop out there in the woods where the altar's at. And we'd pray out there in the woods. And I'd pray things like this. God, would you let me preach again? I couldn't remember nothing. I couldn't remember nothing. It was awful. I'd read 10 verses of my Bible, not remember what the first 3 verses was when I got to the 10th verse. And I'd try to pray, and I couldn't remember what I'd prayed. So I just found myself over and over, God, would you let me serve you again? God, would you let me preach again? I'd come in and I'd sit down back there where Brother Scotty's sitting at. I'd listen to Jeremiah preach. The whole time I'd be praying. God, would you let me preach again? God, would you let me retain my Bible as I read it again? God, would you let me serve you again? And for a couple months, we went from just walking here. We ended up, we had us a 3-mile little lap that we would do through the area here, and we'd come back. And we'd lay out there and we'd pray. We'd pray. I'm talking about the providence of God working things out through prayer. Moses would have never seen that tree if he hadn't prayed. Can I say that to you? Moses would have never seen that. I believe that in all of my heart if he hadn't prayed. God showed it to him. And I'm going to tell you, God showed me some things laying out there. And it's just been in recent days that I've saw him begin to bring it to pass. Said, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Mara is a time of praying and a time of providence when God will step in and intervene. But watch this. Here's what I learned when I was there. Mara is not permanent. Did you hear what I just said? It's not permanent. It's not. And you read on, you go to verse 27. I'm not going to read it all, but here's verse 27. And they came to Elam. Well, if they came to Elam, they had to leave Mara. Did you hear what I just said? They had to leave Mara. And when they got to Elam, there was 12 wells of water. How many tribes of Israel was there? 12. Well, what a coincidence. And 70 palm trees, sign of victory. And watch this. And they encamped there by the waters. What I'm saying is this. God don't put you there to stay. I read some things and I wrote some things down. We wouldn't appreciate the sunrise as much if it wasn't for the darkness. Do you hear what I just said? We wouldn't appreciate. You know, the only way you can enjoy a beautiful sunrise, there has to be darkness. There has to be darkness. Some of the most beautiful sunrises you'll ever see is if you'll get up. You got to get up, number one, before the sun comes up. You put a backpack on your back, and you'll hike back up in some of these mountains and watch the sun come up over some of these mountains. But the only way that you'll ever enjoy the sunrise is if there's darkness. If it wasn't for the rain, we'd never see the rainbow. I wrote this one down. I wrote this down because I said it last night, and after I said it, I thought, I'm going to write that down. Y'all ever had moments like that? They don't come much with me. I write it down when it comes to me and date it. In order for the harvest to be what it needs to be, in order for the harvest to be what it needs to be, there has to be rain. And in order for you to be the Christian God wants you to be, sometimes it's got to rain. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes a storm's got to come. Sometimes the wind's got to blow. Sometimes it's got to get real cloudy. Sometimes it's even got to be thundering and lightning. Sometimes it's a hurricane. Sometimes we don't know what we're going to do, where we're going to go, what's going to happen through it. But here's something that I learned about Mara. It's not permanent. One day God will bring you out on the other side. The sun will shine again. Amen. He is still the lily while you are in your valley. Amen. Amen. Said they went to a place where there was 12 wells. Brother Tim, I went to Revelation 21. I got to reading about a place called heaven. It had 12 gates. And I tell you something, one day God's going to take us through our last storm. He's going to take us through our last valley. We're going to make the last hospital visit. We're going to make the last hospice home visit. We're going to go to the cemetery for the last time. Amen. Amen. We're going to bury our last loved one and those that we have buried in years gone by. Thank God one day the sun is going to come up. I said the sun is going to come up. I promise you the sun is going to come up. For the Lord himself, the sun is going to come up. For the Lord himself shall descend. The sun is going to come up. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The comfort is this: yes, Mara may come. Yes, we may not understand it. Yes, it may drive us to our knees. Yes, we may be at wit's end. But aren't you thankful one day this world will pass away? Sorrow will pass away. Heartaches will pass away. Not understanding will pass away. And we'll be joined together with the saints of God on the other side. The sun will come up one day.